Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 80th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. Tonight I am battling a little bit of a cold, so the next four episodes, you're going to think that I'm sick for the entire month, but we're recording all these in one evening, so actually hopefully we'll get better next week. So nice to have you guys join us tonight.
And as you listen, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars, and because we really like seeing the conversations and the things that stick out to you. We are really excited about this week's guest, who is Mark Martin, also known on Twitter as the Urban Teacher. He is an ICT teacher in London, and he has a master's in education and is passionate about technology and education. So, Mark, thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, Mark, where we kind of always like to start with our guests, just hearing a little bit about your background and your journey in education.
Yeah, so I think I've been teaching for the last 10 years now, and it all came about, I was in university at the time, and I was doing a bit of youth work, and a lot of people were saying, well, wow, you do this youth work really good, and like, it would be good if you actually became a teacher from it all, because at the same time I was studying ICT in university. And I connected the two passions that I had around ICT and helping young people. Then I became a classroom teacher. And ever since then, it's all about having that passion to kind of empower young people. And with the social networks such as Twitter and Facebook and all of these different types of platforms, I could actually just share some of my practices and actually inspire teachers to how to deal with young people in the classroom around technology.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get to that. What about the or what grade level do you teach now?
So I teach 11 to 19. So that's across the board in England. We call it secondary school.
Okay, cool. And then what about I wanted to just kind of talk about your online moniker. You call yourself the Urban Teacher. Like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, it was funny because it's a cool joke, because I first wanted to become the cool teacher, then the cool teacher was taken, then I looked around and thought the awesome teacher, then the one that was available was called Urban _ Teacher, so there's no kind of hidden or subliminal message behind it.
Oh, it sticks, man. I like it.
Yeah. Well, Mark, one of the things that you're really passionate about is technology and education. How did that kind of begin for you about tying that tech in with kids and then inspiring or trying to inspire educators to use technology?
Yeah, so I was in school and teaching ICT, and there was a massive need for around how do we get young people inspired about technology, but also thinking about what kind of careers are available for them when they actually leave school. So I was at a conference, heard some really great speakers about how technology is changing London and also changing society, and we need more educators to be on board and to get involved with the actual the movement. So I felt that for myself, I needed to be one of those teachers that wasn't just only based in the classroom, but based on that the stage of actually helping the technology world bring like technology into school, but also getting young people and parents equipped and adapt for the 21st century.
What about go back to ICT. What does that stand for?
So ICT stands for Information Communication Technology. Originally called IT, Information Technology, and now we've actually scrapped them all since September. Now we're called Computer Science or Computing in secondary schools.
Okay, cool. So what are some of maybe your favorite technology tools to use in your class, or maybe even some of your students' favorite technology tools?
Yeah, it varies. Like my school, we don't really have that much technology. It's really bizarre, but I'm actually launching a blog next week talking about hidden talents, and I think that YouTube is a very powerful tool for our young people, especially where they might go home and run their own YouTube channel teaching others how to play Minecraft, or, you know, showing them how to do tutorials on Photoshop. So some of the tools and that we think as adults young people are using, they're really not. They're actually using tools to, you know, empower each other and to actually further their skills, what they're trying to do.
Here in the States, you mentioned computer science. We generally associate computer science with like learning to code computers and that kind of thing. Do you get into that with some of your upper level kids or not?
We're really keen in coding. Like the new curriculum in secondary school, especially from the ages of 14 to 16, is really based around learning a coding language. So at the moment, I've had to learn Python in a very short space of time.
Oh, cool.
And, it's been challenging, but at the same time, it's been rewarding because I see the benefits of once you give a child something to actually go away and to actually program and see something come to life, you can see it actually come on their face and say, wow, so look what I've done. I'm like, cool. Well, I try and go away and do something better, so I'm always one step ahead of them.
Yeah.
So if you weren't a teacher, Mark, what do you think you'd be doing instead?
I don't know. I think I would be trying to. I think I'll be some kind of tech wizard in one of these tech industry jobs, getting paid probably about £1 million salary. And I'm only joking. I'm only joking. I would definitely be in the tech scene somewhere doing something innovative.
Cool. Looks like we've kind of noticed that you won the Microsoft Innovative Education Expert Award. Just talk a little bit about what that award was and like how that kind of came about.
Yeah, so again, I launched a blog about 6 months ago talking about the fishbowl syndrome. And I think that a lot of teachers, especially that I've come across, are stuck in either their classroom or their department or their school. And for me, I think that schools is just the whole world. It's a massive platform, and probably that the schools that we work in is just like a little room that we try and spread practices about. And being a global teacher, I would call myself, is I'm always on the look at how can I enhance my practices, how can I help other teachers become or fulfill their full potential around technology. So I saw this ad come up on Twitter about Microsoft looking for some expert teachers. So I made a video, submitted it, and yeah, luckily I got through and got the award at the end of it.
Very cool.
So do you get to do any kind of things with Microsoft, or what kind of did that entail?
Yeah, so some of the things that Microsoft kind of do is like even now I'm talking on one of their gadgets that they've given me, this Pro Surface 3, which is really cool actually. But yeah, they let us test out new equipment. They show us some of the innovative stuff that they're working on that might be of interest to us as educators. And yeah, it's just a really supportive company that kind of helps teachers get technology in their classroom in a really cool way.
So talk to us a little bit about your journey using social media, because I know you're active online. How did that start for you?
Yeah, well, I was at a conference, and this guy was ranting and raving about TweetDeck. And I was thinking, what is TweetDeck and what's Twitter? I don't know what it is. They look like they're animals that float in the air. But I didn't know how I could actually use that as an education platform. And when you normally talk to people about Twitter, it's like, waking up in the morning or going to sleep, people are always tweeting about what they're actually doing. But when I started to see that teachers are actually using it, like taking pictures of their practices and actually getting people intrigued about some of the cool stuff that's happening in their schools and stuff, I thought, wow, I could potentially do that myself. So again, first of all, it started off me just investigating, spying on other teachers. I think that was my first year in Twitter. Then I started to comment. I started to retweet other people's retweets. That was my second year. Then the third year was like me trying to put out inspirational quotes. And since then, it's just been like a snowball effect where so many people have just like given me really good encouragement, saying like, well, thank you for that tweet. It's actually trying to give me a brighter day, or it's actually helped me in my practice. So yeah, it's really been a massive snowball effect that I'm really happy for.
Yeah. So going back into your classroom, how do you motivate those kids? Like we all got these kids in our class that are maybe seem like they're just not able to be motivated. How do you get to those kids?
Yeah, I think I've worked in a range of different schools. I've worked in schools where it's really easy to motivate young people, and I've worked in schools where aspirations are really low. Kids don't see the point of technology. So one of the things that I normally say with my young people is that, I kind of take it like 20 years ahead. So I taught a lesson on the year 2030 and 40. And I showed them all this futuristic tech. And I said, guys, listen, most of the things that I'm teaching you, that's the world you're going to be living in. So I'm giving you a head start to either become a really successful person around this technology or opening up your awareness. And I think that, for me, that's broken down a lot of barriers. Also, I've got parents on board. So last year I was teaching parents about, they would come to my lesson. So after school when I finished teaching kids, I'd do a parent lesson where I teach them about what kind of technology they can actually be helping their young people at home with and helping with their homework and stuff. So, it's just about engaging every stakeholder to really motivate a young person.
One of the things that one of our former guests, and escapes me who it was now, said was that the technology that kids are using today is the worst they're going to ever see in their entire lifetime. And I always think that's so cool to think about, like their new iPad Air 2 is like the worst piece of tech they're going to ever see, you know? it's kind of cool to think about.
It's amazing, because I've given the kid the joke about you see their mobile phones and the stuff that we use in the classroom. When they have children and they show their children the stuff that we're using, they're going to be laughed at. So you might as well have a great laugh now than, a couple of years in the future.
Yep. So, Mark, what are you reading right now? What book are you into, or blog or website, whether that's a educational book or just for personal pleasure?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I read quite a few books. I'm all about how do we get people to be at a place where they're happy and happy in what they do. And, you know, and I think that as a teacher, that's one of my main passions, is actually sparking an interest in something. How do I spark someone to be really interested so I'm not too hands-on, having to force or having to challenge a young person to learn. They just want to learn, come and get on with it. So, yeah, I've just been reading a lot of books around emotional intelligence, how do we engage young people and make them feel, you know, like we really see the value in you and this is the path that you can actually take, kind of thing. So, yeah. I'll give you a title.
Do you read for pleasure too, or not?
Yeah, it's bad. As a tech teacher, I read a lot of stuff online, and I've tried to download Google Books and stuff. I think the latest book I've downloaded was the NLP book on communication. How do you communicate tapping into someone's mind? That's a bizarre title, but yeah, I thought that would be of interest.
What's something you think back, like maybe the last couple of years, that you're maybe the most proud of accomplishing?
I think it was a few months ago when I was talking at the Bloomberg to about over probably 300 CEOs from the tech world about how their influence can actually change schools, and actually we need them, and we need a whole community of people building up teachers and students and parents, and they're included as well as the bigger picture too. So I think that was a really great achievement for me, actually stepping outside of a classroom and spreading my passion to some of these people that are really controlling the tech scene in London.
That's super cool. How did you get selected to do that? Or do you go around speaking? I mean, is that part of what you do outside of school?
One of the things is that what I find as a classroom teacher is that I can't just be based in the classroom or getting training from the teaching world. I need to actually branch out. If I really want to become a tech or a computer teacher and I don't know nothing about my industry, or I don't know how to promote it to my young people, then for me it's like, what's the point? So one of the things that I decided to do was actually, after when I finished teaching, leave school and go to the city and see what some of these tech meetups and talks are all about. So through going to those events and talks, I connected with some people in the tech world, and they were really receptive and they really wanted to hear what's happening in schools. That's how I kind of set up a platform, because one of the things was is that our young people were saying, sir, you keep talking about tech and you tell us all the wonderful things that you're doing. And tech world, and we've got a lot of, I don't know, in America you've got Silicon Valley, over here we've got Tech City. And one of the things with Tech City is it's a growing kind of tech scene in London. So what I started to do is I started to invite some of the people from Tech City into my school. So probably every month I would have someone who's got a brand new app that wants to get it out and show people about what fantastic things they're doing. And it was funny because my students would rip some of these startups apart. They're like, no, we don't like this. And they're like, Mark, man, you didn't tell me that this audience is really, 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 like, you know what I mean, harsh on my brand. I said, listen, the feedback you're getting from my students will probably be the best ever in terms of moving your product forward. So, yeah, it's just been, as I said, it's just been really of a snowball effect. And I think I'm treading on territory that I don't think many people are in terms of connecting with the tech world and getting into schools.
Yeah, and I think go ahead, Todd.
I just think that's brilliant. If you've got that environment and you've got those kind of people, it's good for them to get out there and have their apps tested, but it's also great to show these kids that they can try out and test all these things and help develop these future products.
Yeah, it's been great. And I think also what's been really beneficial for me is that that these students are not only they're actually messing about with the industry and they don't even know it, because we had the Google Glasses in about 8 months ago, and one thing that really touched me was when a young person said, sir, I've got an idea how we can improve these Google Glasses. And I was like, what? You better just sit down. Let me write down this blueprint of how we can improve the Google Glasses enough to Google so they can pay us a paycheck. So the whole thing of that is that when you do step out and get kids connected to the industry, then it kind of opens up their mind and makes them a bit more receptive to the things that are out there.
Yeah, I'm just thinking from like the CEO perspective too, is these guys are probably all sitting around going, man, I wish we had the mind of a teacher in here too, so we could tell that person what we want kids to be learning too, because, you know, obviously they have a stake in kids' education as well. And these kids come to a job and they don't know how to do XYZ or whatever, and so that really helps them probably to have your eyeballs on what kind of technology is out there, and to take it back to the classroom for these kids to check out. That's really cool. It's a cool, like, two-way win for everybody.
Mm.
Yeah. Sorry, I lost my train of thought here. I lost my place on that. I had to go publish the live feed there. So what about what's one thing – Todd, it's you, dude.
When you're having a really rough day, what do you do to kind of recenter yourself?
You got to tell yourself a joke. You make up the most craziest joke you can in your vocab, and you laugh. Because I think you can't take yourself seriously when you're teaching. Because, well, that's when stress comes on, that's when all health problems come on. So sometimes you've got to even laugh at yourself and get it wrong in a day. And I think that for me as a teacher, the one thing that's really helped me through the last 2 to 3 years is that I'm actually comfortable with failing and actually getting it wrong so that I can get it right in the next couple of weeks, or hold my hand up and say, you know what, young people, sometimes in life we do get it wrong, but it's all about having that kind of common purpose to move forward together. So I think for me, bad days are kind of, we will have bad days, I would say, but in terms of dealing with it, I leave it and deal with it on the spot and try not to take it home.
Yeah. What's something like in the classroom that you've learned over the last year that you look back and you're like, man, that was amazing. I can't, you know, that really has helped me grow.
Yeah, one thing that's really helped me in the classroom is really worth it, is actually taking, when you're dealing with behavior, there's ways you can deal with behavior that can actually make or break a lesson. And I think that taking young people outside and asking them how they are and how, you know, do they sleep well, do they have breakfast and all of this kind of stuff actually helps a young person to think more about their learning. Because I think beforehand is that we see behavior in our classes, and sometimes, again, it does play on our emotions. But when you take a step back and actually take that young person outside and to see what's happening in their life, I think that's really helped me a lot to have a deeper understanding and be mindful about situations, how to, you know, pick your battles, as they would say.
What do you think right now is the biggest challenge in education?
I think the biggest challenge in education is preparing young people for the 21st century and actually giving them the right skills to actually, you know, go out into employment. also giving them confidence to of their own ability. I think that, you know, I mean, in society there's a lot of pressures from home, there's pressures from school, and I think sometimes as teachers and young people, they kind of are susceptible to those things. But I think one of the main things at the moment for me that I see is actually instilling with our young people a massive, you know, confidence, and to say that you can actually do it. You, whatever you got, whatever dream you can pursue, you can actually do it. And those kind of voices or negative criticisms that you hear are those things that should be building you up to actually pursue your goals.
If you could go back and see yourself as a first-year teacher, what kind of advice would you give to yourself?
That's a good one. I like that one. I think I would say you can't reach perfection. That's what I would say if I was, because when I first came to teaching, I thought everything needed to be perfect and everything needed to be in an immaculate way. And I think that now it doesn't. Sometimes teaching and learning doesn't look neat and tidy. It looks messy sometimes. It does. It just looks up. If you came into my classroom sometimes, you'd be, what the hell is going on? and sometimes it could just be the fact that I'm so passionate about something that it's gone off track, but the kids are still learning from it, or students are still learning from it.
I love that.
Yeah, great advice.
So, Mark, what is something, the question that we always love to end on is, what is something that you're really passionate about right now?
That's when you said that, I had 100 things come into my mind, so I think that might have been the wrong question for me. I think I'm passionate about everything. I'm passionate about just being here, talking to you guys. I'm passionate about going to sleep, waking up, teaching, learning. I think I'm really passionate that, you know, I'm in this era of 2015. There's a massive movement. There's, you know, it's a great time to be living because, you know, we're on the cusp of something. I don't know what it is, but we're on the cusp of, I don't know, empowering young people. Because when I was growing up as a young person and learning about tech and learning about learning, you had to go to a school and do it. But with all of this kind of technology where you can learn online and make stuff with all these gadgets coming out, such as Raspberry Pi and all of these kind of things, it kind of takes learning to a personal level. And I think that this is such a great time to, you know, personalize learning. You can personalize your own teaching training if you wanted to, or develop yourself. You don't need to wait on anyone.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's not only personalize your learning, but your own learning as well. It's a great point. So, Mark, thanks so much for being here tonight. Like, how can listeners connect with you if they're looking to get a hold of you?
You can connect with me on my website, www.urbanteacher.co.uk. Also, you can say hello to me on Twitter, urban_teacher. And yeah, just connecting with you guys has been great. So again, just keeping those links alive. And if I do ever come to the other side of the pond, you've got a classroom for me to inspire.
Awesome. And you guys can connect with us on Twitter via at EduAllStarsHQ. We use the hashtag EduAllStars, and our website is also EduAllStars.com. You can search out EduAllStars with no spaces on iTunes to find the other 79 episodes. Yeah, so many ways to connect with us.
And you can join us for our next episode as we interview Miami teenager Josh Williams from the organization Joshua's Heart. So thanks again, Mark, for coming on with us today. We really appreciate it.
Okay, take care, guys.
Take care, Mark.
Bye.